Hello, and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today, we're talking books. Books that you probably forgot about. This idea was pitched to us by one of our patrons, Emily L. So thank you, Emily. I got so excited when I saw this idea because we're chatting about the books. This is how she put it, that kind of feel like a fever dream now that we read in like the 2010s. That you might have forgotten that existed, but we thought it'd be super fun to go back, go through them, talk about like why we read them, why we thought they were going to be like such a big deal at the time, and how we were feeling about them and all that stuff, and why maybe like they didn't catch a long-term wave, all of that jazz. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
Are you excited to chat nostalgic book reads?
I am. I went through my Goodreads just to like look at like the beginnings of like when I started reading.
The very beginning.
And it was a good time. I had some nostalgia wash over me.
I went and watched like a bunch of old book talks and I was like, oh. All right, but before we get into that, we do have some Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture news today. Natasha, do you want to open us up?
Okay. So last week we talked about Kate Middleton and it was like literally right as the news dropped that she does have cancer. And it's just so sad.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. Like the fact that she had to come out and make like a whole video stating it because everyone just went cuckoo crazy about where she was. Like I knew it was some like big health thing. Like mm-hmm. I just knew it. Everyone's like, she's dead. I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's just very upsetting because all over my Twitter, there's still people saying that this was like a deep fake using one of her old videos and that it's not really her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I just want them to stop. Like, she's obviously sick. And mm-hmm. this is just like, it doesn't matter if the video is AI or not. Oh, I mean, I'm assuming it's not, but like, it's just not the time to do that anymore. Just to hope that she's okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that dropped right after our episode recording and we were very sad. Yeah. It was just very, very, even more upsetting after seeing the whole internet conspiracy theory about her for like the whole week.
I understand because she wants like her privacy and how they like tried to keep that, but in ways that like weren't honest. So that is still weird.
It's it's very weird how the royal family gatekeep what they want their image to be. It's so sad for the people who are trapped inside it sometimes. So I understand why everyone was conspiracy theorying and trying to like figure out what happened to Kate. But now like she's put out a video. I think we just have to trust that that's real and mm-hmm. like wish her the best for a recovery. And yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and less sad segue into pop culture stuff that's much lighter. Yellow Jackets season 3 is reportedly set to begin filming May 14th, which is super exciting because I never knew that we were greenlit. I feel like I'm a part of the show. We were greenlit for season 3. So I'm excited about that. And yesterday I saw on Twitter, it was announced that season 3 of Euphoria was canceled. The production has been canceled. It kept being pushed back and they told the actors to pursue other.
Okay. I looked this up. It's not official.
It's not official. It's rumored. Yeah.
It's rumored.
It's rumored. But I saw it from two different sources that it was rumored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. I never watched Euphoria, but it is sad. I think because three of the lead actors are really blowing up right now, it's probably really difficult for them to schedule filming. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most likely. And I mean, I don't know. I'm sad, but I'm like, I don't. It's such a heavy show that I'm not mad that it's canceled. But still, like, yeah, kind of all saw it coming, if it is true.
Mm-hmm. House of the Dragon is coming back in June, which means that I have to watch season 1 before June.
I'm glad we have a little bit more time. We started trying to rewatch this with Taya and Liam because after we finished Game of Thrones, and it's just so heavy. It's a heavy show. There's so much that just goes down. And I'm like, I just don't, I'm not in the mood for this
that
right now.
That first episode was really hard.
It's really hard. Just remember when that came out, that was, you know, right after Roe versus Wade was overturned. And then we're seeing literally like someone whose choice is ripped away from them. So that was hard.
It was really hard. I was like scarred at the end of that. And I watched the next two before I was like, I can't do this right now. It's I'm too anxious. So I have to get back to it now. Okay, finally, Olivia Rodrigo dropped Guts Spilled, which is the extended edition, deluxe edition of Guts with the five extra songs that we didn't get that she had on some of the vinyls in the special editions.
Ooh.
And we can finally listen to them on Spotify. So I listened to the five extra songs. Did you?
No, I had no idea they dropped.
Okay.
When did they drop?
They dropped on Friday.
Oh, I've not been on my phone all weekend. That's why.
And there's a music video for Obsessed.
Oh.
Obsessed is really fun. It's about how obsessed she is with his ex. I'm so obsessed with your ex. Na, 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 na. That's the catchiest one. And that's the one she's been performing on tour every stop.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones are also good. I just haven't listened to them enough for them to really sink in. So American is the one that like stands out a little bit more to me after listening to them all once. But Obsessed, I had listened to a bunch of times since she performed it as well. So
funny how like she took like a whole month after her tour to release the songs that she's
I know,
also performing.
That she was performing Obsessed. I know. Very interesting. Today in Taylor Swift news, Taylor is still on her break, but there was a ton of pictures of her and Travis that came out yesterday and I'm out to lunch in LA.
Why didn't you send them to me? I didn't see
because
them.
Because they weren't the best, and I saw better ones this morning.
Okay.
There was like a grainy ass through like a glass door picture video that was circling the internet yesterday, and I was like, those are not great. But there's some of them now walking outside. She's wearing like a tan skirt and a blue sweater. And it's very 1989 looking to me.
Does she have a house in LA?
She has a house in LA for sure.
Yeah.
She's Taylor Swift. Of course she has a house in LA. Travis was wearing a hat that said Happy Gilmore. And I also saw that Adam Sandler is doing a Happy Gilmore too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's in production, which is interesting.
Katie said, okay, but did you see Travis talking about Love is Blind on his podcast?
No, I didn't, but I did see him talking about Chelsea or something. I don't know. I didn't like see the clip. I just saw like a tweet or something and I didn't look into it because I was just scrolling. But I have to go listen to that. I did not see the clip. All right. The last thing we have on here is Attached at the Hip is literally less than 2 months away. That is my novel that is coming out May 21st, 2024, and it's coming so fast. I feel like I'm speeding towards it now. And every second I'm like, oh God, what's the next TikTok I make about it? But it's coming and there I haven't announced events yet, but like there will be.
When's
them.
That coming?
I don't know. Waiting for confirmation. I have talked about the LA event that's happening on the 22nd. If you're in the LA area or in the California area, that will be the stop. Please reserve your calendars. Natasha will be moderating on the 22nd of May in La La Land. And you can
at the Ripped Bodice
at 7 p.m. No one's officially announced it except me over here. But there will be other ones too, just not in California. Okay, now also, oh yeah, it's available for pre-order. And
link is in the show notes.
The link is in the show notes. You can pre-order it any way you like to read. So ebook form, audiobook form, Kobo form, Kindle form, you know, whatever floats your boat. It's all really helpful to the release if you pre-order it rather than waiting till the day to get it. So thank you in advance if you do that. I really appreciate it. You can add it to your TBR on Goodreads. That's helpful. And you can request it at your local library or on your library app, which is also super helpful. Natasha,
yes.
What's going on with Lovesteria?
Lovesteria tickets are officially on sale. We are very excited. Yeah, so everyone's buying tickets for Saturday, probably because it's a weekend.
Because it's Saturday. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people, especially on the podcast. You guys have known way in advance besides like the people like on Instagram and stuff. But a bunch of people from the podcast have already purchased tickets.
Yay.
And I thank you guys. We are probably announcing our next author this week.
Yay.
Just waiting to confirm her. And very excited about that. Emily said I got my ticket for the Saturday ball. I'm so excited to go and see both. Oh, we're very excited.
Yes.
Yes. So if you, there's also the book fair, which is during the day on Saturday. So if you get the VIP ticket, you can go to the book fair and to the ball the same day. And then there's also the you can go to the book fair in and of itself. But yeah, we are open. Like if anyone wants to be a vendor, if like you own like a small shop or if you're like an indie author, we love to have you. So just email us and we can get you. We
sorted.
Can start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move right on into what right now. What have you been reading, Natasha?
I haven't really been reading anything. My brother took my last Audible credit for Dune Messiah. And he came home Friday night and was listening to it in the bathroom. And it was the very end of the book.
Oh, God.
And I'm over here on the floor cutting fabric. And I just hear huge, huge plot.
No.
Spoiler at the end. And then he comes out of the bathroom and was like, did so-and-so die? And he's like, yeah.
Oh,
I'm like, what the fuck?
My God.
And then he's like, can I just continue listening to it? I'm like, fine.
No!
Now that I know, I don't care. Like, he started telling me a lot about it. And I don't know if, like, you know, they're going to do the same thing or if they're going to, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just mad because Alex is the owner of the Spotify account and he can listen to his 14 hours worth of audiobooks per month. I can't. And then he uses my fucking Audible credit.
Rude.
He needs to get his own Audible account.
I've been reading more of I, Aaron Flame. Like, I actually sat down and read last night and the night before because I'm sick of not being finished and I am still, like...
After we bullied you.
Yeah.
Last
also,
night,
though, so. Did I talk about this last week? Like, I can't take long showers while my eyebrows are healing. So I just mean 10 minutes, but like I've literally been getting in the shower, washing and hopping right out like a rush shower. And I like to like breathe in the shower. And I was like, okay, since I'm not doing that and reading is like my anti-anxiety, you have to sit down and read. So I got into bed like at 9:30, not into bed, but like on my bed and read for a bit. It was nice.
That sounds nice.
For like half an hour, 40 minutes. But then I started to get sleepy because I was laying in my bed. You know how it is when you're reading. Mm-hmm. Tiffany says, Christina, did you finish Swordcatcher? Okay, I didn't because I was trying to read it with my eyes. And then I got the audiobook and it was during when I was working on writing stuff that I was listening to that audiobook. And then I, you know, when your brain is too chaotic to pay attention to fantasy stuff that you have to learn, that's what was happening. So
what's Swordcatcher?
It's Cassandra Clare's adult fantasy novel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really want to read it. So I was starting to like feel like I was getting into it more though. It's really like it's really interesting and the lore of this new fantasy novel and like there's this king and the lead guy is his double. So like when the king can't go out, it's too dangerous or something. His double, our lead character, takes his place. And then I started hearing from this woman's point of view who is like a healer. Like magicians are kind of banned in this world. So if you have any magic, people are mean to you and you're lower in society, basically, because they're threatened by them, you know? Or you work for the king.
Okay. Is it available? Like, is it out?
Yeah, it's been out since last year.
Oh, I just thought we got the arc, like, really early.
I need to read it. I feel very behind on it. It's just, it's a fantasy, and I always have trouble now in my adult life getting past the beginning because I feel like I need to be so present to learn everything and there's no time to be so present. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm enjoying Iron Flame. I'm probably about like 67% through now or something. So that's okay. Nice. Yeah. And then what'd you watch this week?
Irish Wish.
We both watched Irish Wish and boy, was that a mess.
You know what? I liked it better than the Christmas movie that she did.
Okay, it was better than her Christmas movie, definitely.
Yeah.
It was like fun bad.
Yeah.
But like dialogue was just so bad.
Yeah. I did enjoy it. One, I was half watching it. Like I wasn't giving my whole attention because I was sewing during it. I'm like, I'm just going to put this on. But I couldn't get
over. So this is the Lindsay Lohan movie. Sorry, we didn't preamble.
Sorry, yes. Just, the like, Lindsay Lohan movie know. On Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah.
And the whole thing is she is going to Ireland for her best friend and her crush's wedding. Because she's been like basically in love with this guy. And she's a book editor and he is a writer. He was giving Pierce Brown vibes. I'm just going to say it. So it starts off like a year before and like she has a huge crush on him. And then ultimately like her best friend and they meet and like they hit it off. And then flash forward a year later, they're getting married in Ireland. So she's going to Ireland. And then
we literally have the fastest flash forward to a year later montage ever in the history of time.
He was like, blip.
It was like, blip. Okay.
And well, she meets this young fella on a bus and they have like a little bit of banter
in Ireland
for like 5 minutes.
I love how he's like holding his camera for no apparent reason and she's like, oh, you're a photographer.
I hold my camera for no apparent reason. I'm not gonna say I'm a photographer. Well,
no, it was just they were on a bus sitting and he was holding his camera. I mean, it just felt very much like, why are you holding it? Because he's an animal photographer, like the wildlife.
So, and then the main plot point is that she wishes she was actually getting married to.
Oh my God, he was in You. That's where he's from. The whole time, Tiffany, I'm like, why do I know him so much? I know him. Is he from like Mindy Project? Because he kind of looked like the priest from the Mindy Project, but it wasn't. And then I never realized until right now when you said it, he is in season 4 of You. Okay. He plays a very different man in You than he does in Irish
Yeah,
Wish.
No, I couldn't get over the fact that both of the main guys were both villains in Outlander. James Spielers, that fucker, plays the main character that basically like made me stop reading the books because he's terrible. I'm not going to.
Okay, you mean Outlander books?
Yes, his character. Who's the other guy? Who does he play?
I don't know either of these guys from Outlander. Like when you said they were both from Outlander, I was expecting to recognize them. There was no clicking for me there. It was all like, no, I know him from something else.
They're like later in the seasons. I can't figure out what but they're both villains in Outlander. I think it's fucking hilarious.
Anyway, Irish Wish was very silly. And I was watching it with my neighbor and she's like, she really has a thing for like switching places. Like that's all she ever wants to do. And I was like, you're so right. That is all she ever wants to do. Mm-hmm. Like Lindsay Lohan just wants to do movies where you switch places and live another life.
It was kind of giving The Lucky One with Chris Pine. Is that what
it was like? They were referencing it when like her scarf gets caught in the door for no apparent reason. But yeah, I want to rewatch actually The Lucky One because it reminded me of that. And I was like, I haven't seen that movie in like 100 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Lindsay Lohan wasn't that bad of an actress, right?
No, she's just picking really cheesy movies.
Easy things to do.
Yeah, yeah. Cheesy, easy, like no pressure. Cheesy, breezy, beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
What else did you watch?
Okay, I started Spaceman, that movie with Adam Sandler, because as maybe a lot of you know, I'm obsessed with Project Hail Mary. And this was...
What? I've never heard you say that before in my life. What is that?
What do you mean? It's the book by the guy who wrote The Martian that I talked about extensively in 2020 when I read it. And I got John to read it and he loved it. And I tell everyone
to read it. You didn't tell me to read it.
The Hail Mary Project? Yes, I did. At the time, I did. Mm. 2020. Yes, you should read it. Get the audiobook. It's so fucking good. Okay. So it was really giving that in the trailer. It's not giving that in the movie. What I love about Andy Weir, Elisa's better together with the Swapping Places. Yes, that was my Parent Trap ode. I love Swapping Places, but it's just like all Lindsay Lohan ever does. Anyway, Andy Weir has a really strong, sarcastic, comedic tone through all of his writing, and it makes it really fun to read his books, and they feel real. You get so immersed in Project Hail Mary. Read it. It's so fucking good. Anyway, this was giving it in the trailer, and then when I watched it, it was like very serious and very sad. And I'm like 40 minutes in, and I think I'm gonna finish it, but I was just getting like kind of depressed by Adam Sandler being so depressed.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like kind of cutesy.
And maybe it'll get cutesier, but right now it's like kind of sad.
Well, I watched Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh! How was it?
It was one of the Oscar-nominated films. It was, I think, a French film.
Best international film.
It was really good. Half of it was in French. The other half was in English. Alex was trying to narrate it for me while I was sewing.
I was just reading it out loud.
Yes, he was. Or like trying to give me like the gist of what they were saying. But it's about the death of this woman's husband in the whole trial process, because she is convicted of his murder. They're trying to prove that it was suicide because he fell out of the top of the house, or like he jumped out. I thought there was going to be like some big twist. There wasn't like a big twist at all. It was just taking us through the process and different things we learned about the couple. I don't understand why the film was nominated in and of itself, but the acting in it was phenomenal. There's like this one scene, you know that scene from Marriage Story where like Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson are like yelling at each other about like how they wish they never got married. It's pretty...
Oh, yeah.
So there's a scene similar to that, but it's like way better. Like the right... It's so real.
Mm-hmm. Well, that scene was really real too. It like was really upsetting. I mean,
but this one was
this
like...
This one was even realer.
It was real good. Yeah. So
that scene like haunts my dreams.
No, truly.
It was so upsetting.
Very upsetting to watch. I tried to watch that film in like 3 segments. I could not finish it one go.
It was very PTSD with the divorce stuff.
But Anatomy of a Fall was a great movie. Like if you are interested in film and like you want to like watch just a good movie in general, I would definitely say watch it one evening like with your partner or someone. I think it's on Amazon Prime. Like we didn't pay for it. So that's
I saw it on Hulu or something. Like that, yeah, it's available. Yeah. All right. TV wise. Guys, I'm loving Deal or No Deal Island. I'm so excited for the new episode tonight. I talked about it last week. Rob's on it. It's getting really great ratings. And he posted like a thing about how it had like 24 million views across the streamers or something. And I wrote slay and he responded to my comment. And I got so fangirly.
She was so excited. She sent it to me and Chloe.
So excited. Okay. Because right before that, Olivia had sent me a screenshot that he liked her comment on it, like hearted it. And she was like, look. And I was like, oh my God. And then I went and commented on it because I didn't see this post. And then he commented back to mine with a heart fire heart emoji comment. And I sent that to Olivia. And she was like, I'm so mad he responded to you and only hearted mine.
That verified account.
I know. I was like, is the check mark? But I got so fangirly. I was like on the walk with my neighbors. I was like, Boston Rob responded to me. Anyway, they don't know Boston Rob. Me and Olivia are just big Boston Rob fangirls.
I was very excited for you, but I also don't really know him. But I know you love him, and that's what matters.
Thanks. And I rewatched all of Hacks this past week, and I fucking love Hacks because I wanted to get ready for the new season coming out in May, and I just started rewatching Bridgerton to get ready for that. And Hax is amazing, and I love it so much. It always makes me so proud and so happy, and I always get, like, teary-eyed at the end of season two because it's so beautiful and so well-written.
I need to give that a watch. I have been watching Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the cartoon. And I love it. I started watching it on Friday when our episode dropped because I was listening to our episode. I was like, oh, I should just put it on because I don't really have a show right now. So it was just so nice. Like, I really love it. I think the difference, I'm getting way more out of the characters and my knowledge of the live action now. And it just, it makes so much more sense. I do feel now like I'm going to probably rewatch the live action after I finish season one. And then I'm going to have a lot more thoughts on it, I think. Mm-hmm. I think Katara, I don't know why, like, she didn't do anything for me in the live action, but, like, Katara in the cartoon is just way more grounded and, like, just, she's so much, like, more in, she just kind of feels wishy-washy in the live action. I didn't...
Yeah, she's way more of a leadership role, it feels like, mm-hmm. in the cartoon. Mm-hmm. She's way more present and intentional, yeah. I feel like, about what she does. Yeah. And she's kind of in and out on the...
She feels like a, well, because she feels very baby in the live action. Like,
she feels very young. Yes. And I feel like they wanted her to look closer to Aang's age, maybe. I don't know. But she does feel very young.
She feels very young. And some of her, they take a lot of, I think, like, her leadership stuff out of it. And also, I do see when Chloe said Sokka's sexism, I was like, what? But I see it now. And
yeah.
And that's what makes, like, Katara also, like, stand her ground.
Yeah.
Is that, like, back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. And he is annoying and dumb in the beginning. And, like, there's so many things he says. We're just like, shut up.
Yeah, they've got great arcs in the cartoon.
Yeah, and I'm actually, like, laughing during some of the scenes. And yeah. I think I got to episode 10 last night.
Oh, so you're almost done with season.
I'm halfway through. I think there's, like...
How many are there in season?
There's, like, 22, 24 episodes.
Okay, it's, like, a full old-fashioned season.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we both watched Quiet on the Set, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I had started the day that we recorded our last episode, and I finished it at the end of the night because I could not stop watching it.
Yeah,
it was very good.
Riveting. And also horrifying.
And horrifying, yeah.
Yeah, Alex and I took a few days to watch it because we were watching it together.
Now this is everywhere, but, like, I had no idea Drake Bell was going to be in the show.
No, me
because
either.
I just heard about it that day. I just started watching it. And when he walked out, mm-hmm. my jaw fucking dropped. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe... I feel like I grew up with Drake Bell mm-hmm. and watching him. And I couldn't believe that this huge thing happened to him. And he was forced to keep it a secret for so long and do all this stuff while that was going on. And it was just... I was devastated for him. And he's gone through, like, a lot of shit in his 20s. He had a battle with addiction, I think, and there were, like, some things about him doing inappropriate shit, and he was so messed up because no one helped him. No one did mm-hmm. anything. Like, thank God what happened with his girlfriend's mom.
Yeah.
You guys gotta watch it. I just was devastated for him and for everyone at Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. They had three pedophiles mm-hmm. working on set. Like, that's fucked.
Not to mention, like, also the weird stuff with Dan Schneider.
Oh, the weird stuff with Dan Schneider. Yeah.
There was a power play and he just sounded like a overlord.
Yeah. Brittany says Drake's dad's interviews broke my heart. Me too.
Oh, yes.
I was just like, obviously, mm-hmm. like, crying with him. So it was a great documentary. I don't want to spoil everything they talk about, but there's a lot to be unpacked in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tao, she's like, I saw so much of it on TikTok. I don't think I need to watch it. I was like, okay. It's really good, though. Like, you should, but also, yeah. like, you know your boundaries. So.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, like, my brother said the same thing. It's just, he's like, I saw clips of it. I was like, it's a 40-minute episode with Drake. Like, mm-hmm. you didn't see all of it. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a lot before that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. So I think I convinced him to watch it. But anyway, it's very, very good. And Dan Schneider is also horrible, too. Mm-hmm. All right.
What a
downer. We are going to move into the main discussion. All right. I had us both go through and put down 10 books that we felt were huge and good, or that, like, were gonna be huge, that kind of ended up falling off the radar and now kind of feels so out of left field when you think about them. And there's three that Emily mentioned in her mm-hmm. episode suggestion that when I used to, like, kick off our discussion here. So the first one is Angel Fall. Mm-hmm. And I loved this book. It's also, like, one of my most watched book talks because I had it on my homepage as, like, the landing book talk for a long time. But Angel Fall is so well written and like dark and mischievous. And I read the first and second book by Susan E. And I never got to the third book because by the time it came out, it had been so long since I read the other ones that I couldn't really remember. I feel like this is how so many of these died, or so many series in general die, when there's too long of a gap between like the last book and like the middle books. Mm-hmm. And then because we get older and there's so much to read and there's so much going on in our lives, it's hard to remember. And then you end up putting it off until you can reread it and you never reread it.
I was getting this one. When I first saw it, I was thinking it was Fallen, but it's not Fallen.
Oh, no, no, no. This one was so good. It has like a really cool cover. I think it was self-published originally. It was like published on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it's like a post-apocalyptic.
You want to go through what you remember about it?
I don't really remember that one. That's the only one that I didn't go through and where we watched the book talk. What do you have pulled up?
It's been 6 weeks since Angels of the Apocalypse descended to demolish the modern world. Street gangs rule the day while fear and superstition rule the night. When warrior angels fly away with a helpless little girl, her 17-year-old sister,
Penryn,
will do anything to get her back. Anything, including making a deal with an enemy angel. Rafi is a warrior who lies broken and wingless on the street. After eons of fighting his own battles, he finds himself being rescued from a desperate situation by a half-starved teenage girl. Traveling through a dark and twisted Northern California.
Yes!
They have only each other to rely on for survival. Together, they journey toward the angel's stronghold in San Francisco, where she'll risk everything to rescue her sister, and he'll put himself at the mercy of his greatest enemies for the chance to be made
whole. And her mom is like a rabid assassin, if I remember correctly. And I loved their like relationship and the sexual tension, I feel like was great. Mm. I just really enjoyed Angel Fall, and I'm sad I never got to read the conclusion, but like I didn't remember it by the time the conclusion came out.
It was a duology, right?
No, it was a trilogy. I read the first two and not the third one. Mm-hmm. Sad times. I have no memory of the second one though at all. Remember the first? I think her mom was in it more. I think that's why I know about her mom. Mm-hmm. Then the second one Emily mentioned was Hush Hush. Now I think we all still remember Hush Hush. I feel like I still see it at Barnes and Noble, like out and about on the shelves. Uh-huh. And I'm like, how the hell is this still out? If people still actively talking about Hush Hush?
I resisted all of those books that were like the new Twilight after Twilight came out. So many of these I just didn't read. Like I didn't read Angel Fall. I didn't read Hush Hush. I never wanted to read it.
You
I was like,
didn't read Hush Hush?
A lot of these I didn't read. Yeah.
Okay. Hush Hush was like so Twilight-y. Angel Fall was like a completely different thing. Hush Hush was like they met in biology. He had like dark black eyes. He was so rude. He was like a new level of rude Patch. And I just remember there were so many Twilight parallels, but it just like wasn't as endearing as Twilight. Mm-hmm. And everyone in my comments was telling me to read it, so I did.
Was he a werewolf?
No, he was an angel.
Oh. Shiver!
Shiver was the werewolf.
The werewolf one.
I didn't love Shiver. Shiver was a very strange take on werewolves, in my opinion. I can't remember why anymore. It had something to do with temperature. It was like very scientific.
Wait, so he was an angel?
He was an angel of some sort, like a fallen angel, I want to say. I can't remember. The first one was like, okay. And then I remember the second one, I was just like, I don't really want to read these anymore. So I read Crescendo and then I didn't read them on after that. But yeah, all of these were very much in the wake of Twilight. So many paranormal romances were everywhere. Like everywhere you look, it was like something paranormal. It was going to be like the next big Twilight. Mm-hmm.
They really tried.
Well, Hush Hush got pretty big. Like everyone was reading it.
Obviously. If it's still out.
And okay. The next one she mentions is The Unbecoming of Mara Dyer. And I actually really loved this.
My Lord.
So much.
I did not read this one either.
You didn't read The Unbecoming of Mara Dyer either?
No.
Oh my God.
I didn't read a lot back then. Like I read.
Damn.
Here's what happened. I remember seeing all these. I like feeling that they were like shoved down my throat. Like I needed to read them. And I said, no, I don't want to read it because everyone else is reading it. So I'm going to read something completely different. So I never read on The Unbecoming of. I never read any of these. I wanted to. Also, back then, I didn't have a lot of money for books. If I didn't get it, I didn't read it.
Library card.
Yeah, didn't do that.
Okay, a lot of people in the chat are talking about the Lux series.
Yeah, I have that on my list.
I think we have on our list. Yeah. So back to the Unbecoming a Martyr. This is, if you don't know, it's like an unreliable narrator. And our lead character is kind of like having a mental health crisis. Like she's having a psychotic break. But also she has like abilities to like kill people. It's really creepy. Like I could not read this at night. And I did. And I got really creeped out. Because you don't know when she's having a psychotic episode or when she's actually accidentally fucking killed somebody. And in the second book, the second book's really good. She has a romance that I really liked. And the guy never backed down to be like, because I want to protect you, which was like the trope I was so annoyed by at the time because of New Moon. Like, I'm breaking up with you for your own good. Like, fuck off. I hated that. The thing with the Unbecoming Martyr, I remember the third book was like, it just felt so wishy-washy. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. And then she made a fourth one years later, and I could not get into it as much because, first of all, it had been like 100 years. And second of all, like, the last book was kind of like, what happened? It was very confusing. Like, she was in a psychiatric ward, and she was like trying to get out. But, you know, it gets to a point where the narrator feels so unreliable that you're like confused. In the third book, at least that was my opinion. But the first two books, like, I remember that second book was phenomenal. Noah Shaw, yes, the love interest was named Noah Shaw, and I loved him.
Is it kind of giving like the Leigh Bardugo book?
You know what? It does have some Ninth House vibes, but like Ninth House is definitely more put together and like thorough in its world building and everything, and adult and disturbing. But like, it's like the YA vibe of that vibe where like, yes, there was some dark shit happening, and it didn't stick the landing. The series didn't stick the landing. But the first two books were great. Mm-hmm. They were pretty big. I did book talks for the first two books, and then I did one for the fourth book because I think I was hired to read that one and review it and book talk it.
Yeah, I remember everyone reading these books. I'm like, oh, I really want them.
This was the period when all these books were like people in my comments telling me to read them. Like tons of people were telling me to read them. So they were big. All right. What is the first thing on your book list here? Your personal books that you forgot existed, but like you read and we're excited about.
Here's the thing. I went back to like high school days. I was in high school from 2008 to 2012, and I read Twilight in 2008, and that's when everything kicked off for me. Kristen, you started your BookTube channel in 2010. You were like 2 years after doing all that. Okay, I'm going to start with my second one. I don't know if anyone read Kissed by an Angel. This book, my best friend Abby told me to read it. This was the story that Alex told at my birthday when he like opened the door to my room and I was in bed crying because I was so sad.
Who wrote this book?
I don't know. Hold on. I forgot to write it down. Elizabeth Chandler. Let me see what it was.
Oh, I've heard of that name before.
She, all of like her covers looked like Twilight too. Like there's a flower on every single cover.
Okay.
It was published in 1998.
Oh, wow. This is an older book.
Yeah, I just remember Abby telling me to read it, and I was obsessed.
Where did you find it?
Abby told me to read it. Abby told me to read a lot of things when I first started getting into reading. But I don't think anyone really, like, I don't remember anyone talking about it. This doesn't bring up any memories for people in the chat, which is okay.
Yeah, because it's older.
I really love this book.
Yeah.
And I told everyone to read it after I read Twilight.
Nice.
So the other ones, Nicole says I don't know that one. I have basically all of Sarah Dessen's books. Those are the ones I read through high school and like into 18, 19 years old. I have Just Listen on here, which is I think her top rated one, which was my favorite one. She was also really big. Also, these are pretty old. What's her face? Who plays Rapunzel?
Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore did like one of Sarah's first books. They did an adaptation and she was like the main character in that adaptation.
Oh.
But they're all just like contemporary, like about high school life. They always deal with something kind of like a young adult coho, I feel.
I read one of her books and I think by that time I was too old and I didn't love it. I can't even remember the name of it, but I read one. In 2013.
Shot says Sarah Dessen era was a vibe.
The Truth About Forever. Maybe that's the one I read. Had a bracelet on
that was the classic. You might have read Along for a Ride, which also was adapted for a Netflix film.
I don't think
film.
I did. I know about that one though, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I read it like on my trip to England for Summer in the City.
Tiffany says she feels like it's actually an Emily Henry for teens. Yeah, I can see that.
I feel like it's not that either because it was not funny.
No, it wasn't funny. It was like very serious and like always dealt with something traumatic happened in somebody's life.
Yeah, and there wasn't much like sexual tension stuff. It was more tame.
Well, just listen, there. That's why I like that one because there was more romance in it.
The first thing I have down on my list were these books. So, yeah, I started my book channel in 2010, but like before that, I was like grasping at everything possibly that was like Twilight. There were these books, Wake, Fade, and Gone by Lisa McMahon. And they had like dark black backgrounds for the covers and like one thing on it that was bright, like just kind of a pillow. And it was about this girl who like gets sucked into other people's dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was like lukewarm enthusiastically on them, but I read all of them.
Me too.
Like I was just like, I just wanted something to read and I liked the concept. But I feel like she had like a really rough life, this girl. I remember like feeling really sad for her because she had a rough time.
It's so funny because like we did read the same things. Your second one is that was the one that I
can't wait to get.
But like this, the Wake, Fade, and Gone series, I think happened a little bit before BookTube.
Yeah,
because I remember reading it like in high school. Yeah. And being like, they're okay.
Yeah,
but like
they're not Twilight.
No, but they're still like good. Okay, talk about your second.
They were
one.
Good. The next one on here is the Evermore series by Allison Noel, and you might know it as The Immortals. There was Evermore, Blue Moon, Shadowland, Dark Flame, Nightstar. And these books, I went back and watched because I remember just being tortured by them.
Yeah.
And I read four of them before I decided to stop putting myself through the pain. I went back and watched this book talk. I was reading the third book and I was in a chamber locked up being stabbed while I was reading. You might not remember what the concept is because I barely remembered. So it was about this girl and her boyfriend who were cursed and they haven't been able to like exchange bodily fluids for 500 years. So they can't even kiss. All right. And it's about them trying to break this curse for five books. And it's literally not resolved to the last page because I couldn't read the last book. So I went into Barnes & Noble. I talked about this in my book talk and I read the last page. And the last page is where they finally drink the thing and they didn't even have a fucking sex scene after 5 books of leading up to it. And she just like takes off her sweater and it ends.
Oh my gosh. I was the same. I was tortured by these books. I remember reading the first one and like, oh, her name's Ever. That's so cool. It was so Twilight though, because it's like she's like a loner and then he's like this really hot dude who's like really into her. I was like, oh, I kind of like this, but then this is like very like Twilight Evermore. Blue Moon.
And then you find out they're actually immortals.
It was also like bad writing, I feel. But the whole time you just want them to have sex. That's the whole thing. That's the plot.
You want them to have sex and you never get it. Mm-hmm. Never. Never, never. See, so back in the day, it was like a new level of scandalous to have a sex scene in a young adult novel. Like, and I'm not talking like a Fade to Black. That was a sex scene. I'm talking about like a lot of time we just didn't have them. Like they never got there. And it was just not done a lot of the time. Like the books were just not very sex positive. It was very much like they're really young. So not preaching abstinence, but like almost.
Yeah.
So that's why for me, it was a huge deal in Breaking Dawn. Like those were sexy scenes for me. I loved those. And I reread all the Breaking Dawn sex scenes a bunch of times. And then I remember another book from that time, Under the Never Sky by Veronica Rossi. Do you guys remember that one? That was like at the beginning of BookTube times. It was, I did a book talk on it. And I remember that one being one of the first books that they had sex and it was casual and it wasn't some groundbreaking thing that was so scandalous for them. It was just like sex positive. It was like, oh, they had sex and it was chill. It wasn't like a graphic sex scene or anything, but I was just like, oh, I'm so glad that they just had sex and didn't make it like it was the end of the world be all end all of their relationship. Like it was just like they're in a relationship, they had sex. I just remember thinking that was huge because it was so chill and I liked that.
I never read the other two, Under the Never Skies, though. That was another series that was like fascinating, but I never got to the next two. Like I did. There were just so many series at the time that you really had to be hooked to like continue. Yeah.
I don't remember reading this, but A Great and Terrible Beauty by Libba Bray.
Everyone talked about that one. I never read it.
It was on my Goodreads. So apparently I read it. I don't know if it was like a debut gothic novel, mysterious visions, dark family secrets, and long lost diary thrust Gemma and her classmates back into the horrors that followed her from India. It's set in like
everyone loved this
1895
book.
Like I remember Reagan, I think, talking about it. If Reagan, like, I was like so into historical, you know, period.
Reagan. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I want to read it. But also just like A Great and Terrible Beauty. Like it's, I love the title of this book.
Yeah. And everyone loves Libba Bray. They love her novels.
Okay, they just talked about one in the chat that we should probably...
Oh, it's on my list.
Yes.
Ruby Red by Kirsten Gier. Mm-hmm. So these books were such fun, quick reads, mm-hmm. and everyone was telling me to read them back in the day. So I have book talks for all of them. What's really interesting about this is that it was a German novel that was translated mm-hmm. and got really big here. And there is an adaptation, but it's in German. And you had to like find it on the internet because it wasn't like streaming anywhere. Mm-hmm. They were really fun. It's about a girl whose family has the gift to be able to travel back in time. Or there's like a cult that can travel back in time. And like, no, Elise just said that that's how she found my channel, through the Ruby Red book talks.
Oh my gosh. I think I remember Sasha talking about these. That's what made me read it.
I don't remember Sasha talking about them. And of course, when you hear Ruby Red, you think it's about a girl named Ruby, but it's not. They use like gemstones to travel back in time or something.
Did you read the second one or the rest of the series?
Yeah, I read the whole series. There's only three. Oh, wow. They're so quick. They end on like cliffhangers. Do you want to go? It's like an episode of The Vampire Diaries. Like it ends and you're like, okay, that wasn't even an end. Like, next book, please. They were really quick and fun reads. They had some weird, quirky stuff in them, too.
Mm-hmm. And I never got to watch the adaptation, but I
tried to, but I had a really bad link. It wasn't a good quality, so I ended up stopping because it was one of those links from the olden days that you, like, searched for and tried to find a good one. Yeah. Like, it would buffer. Mm-hmm. What is on your list? What's next?
The Selection.
The Selection. Still huge. Kira Cass's Selection.
I know, but I feel like they really tried to make this a thing and it just wasn't a thing.
What do you mean? It is a thing. It's been huge forever. People still talk about The Selection.
I know, but like they tried to make it a TV show twice and it just never happened.
Oh, they're still working on making an adaptation of The Selection.
Wait, Elisa, the fact that Netflix dropped it again last year. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're still working on it. Like, I've heard about it being worked on. It's gone through Amazon, Disney, and Netflix. Holy shit. Because people are still reading the Selection series and, like, getting excited about it. Kira announced it's canceled. Oh, my God. For goodsies? For goodsies.
Oh my gosh. That's so sad for her. Wait, no.
That is.
The CW had it first.
Yeah, but it's gone through the streamers, I think.
Oh. That's so sad. Yeah, that Why is so can't sad. This be adapted? What is wrong with it?
I don't know. Oh, as for her last TikTok, she's committed to being a pastor's wife and done writing? That is so sad.
Oh.
That's really upsetting. The Selection was addictive. We were all reading it and everyone was talking about Mason and Aspen.
America, that was her name.
America was her name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a caste system that was pretty strict, like with numbers and America Singer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And by the end, I was like, definitely like torture reading it.
Yes, same. I was like, oh, just get through. I don't think I finished it. I think I got to the second one and I was like, this is annoying. I'm done.
You didn't read all three of the first three? Oh no. My God.
If I didn't like the thing, then I wasn't going to finish it. Like, I didn't have time for that.
It was my job to finish this. I read it within like a day. And it only took a couple hours because they're so short. But then there was like the sequel series and her daughter was such an asshole. There were like two books. I only read the first of those because it hurt me. I think her name was like Edelin or something. But I made book talks. Wait, she chose the wrong guy at the end? Are you kidding? Yeah, I remember so many people were like, Christine, you had to read the last one. And I was like, I just can't do that to myself because I get so mad at this girl. Anyway, yeah. The Selection add-on series was rough, man. The main character was really
an asshole.
So you read all of those?
I just didn't read the last one, the last add-on. I read all three of the America Singer books. And then America Singer's daughter, Edelyn, was really jerky. And I read the first one. And that was it for that. Next on my list here, I have the Poison Study series, which was so good by Maria V. Snyder.
So I want
to reread Poison Study because I loved it so much. Poison Study and Magic Study were so good. I remember Fire Study was feeling a little chaotic and I feel like I got a little lost there. But I looked these up last night and apparently there's three more books. Shadow Study, Night Study, and Dawn Study? Did anyone finish those? That's another situation where I feel like there was a big gap between Fire Study and Shadow Study. Like, kind of forgot what it was about. And there was also another book in between that was like a different main character. And I had started it but never finished it. She like blows glass or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? It was like power.
I definitely read these because of you. And I thought they were like more on the sexier side. They were.
Because they were in the adult section.
Oh.
The romance section.
Yeah, I really liked them.
Yeah, her name was Yelena and Valak was the assassin. So it's about a young woman who is about to be hung. It's her turn to be executed because she killed someone because they were sexually assaulting her. The king's poison tester just passed away. So she gets offered the job of being his poison taster instead of being executed. And then she's trained by the king's assassin, Valak. And he's like 15 years older than her. And there's like sexual tension there. And they start to like each other. And it's really sexy. So it turns out she's a magician, which have been banished from the country, and Valak is the one who's sent to execute any magicians that are in their country. And so there's this like forbidden love aspect to it. Sophie, I think we all remember the Delirium series. I feel like that one is so... That one's so set in stone in my head that I never forgot about it. Like, that's why it's not on my list, because I'm like, obviously we all know it. So in Delirium series, love is illegal. And there's literally like a procedure so that like you can't love that you get when you're like 16 or something. And like they don't want to get the procedure or something. I forget. So Magic Study, she's really exploring like her abilities as a magician and they're so cool. Like I loved the magic system, but I think it started to get convoluted. And then I think I owned Shadow Study and never read it. And Katie said she started and never finished it. I wonder if it just got like really out there in terms of like it didn't feel as grounded, because the first two books feel really grounded in this like medieval world, living in the king's palace, like as the poison taster. And I really loved those. But like in Fire Study, I think she ventures out to find like her people in the other country. And there's just a lot going on at once. And Valak isn't there. So you don't have like
the love story part of it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. People in the chat mentioned Delirium, which I was saying feels so ingrained that I didn't forget about it. Like that was huge.
Yeah. I never read those books.
You didn't read those books either?
No.
Oh my God. Love was illegal in Delirium.
Oh yeah. It's such an interesting concept.
It is. It is. And they tried to make a show, but it didn't get off the ground, but it was with Emma Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot. We all watched that pilot. Janine from Sydney You Can Dance was in it. And the kid from Wizards of Waverly Place, if I'm not mistaken, played Julian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was in it.
Anyway, all right. What's next on your list?
I know earlier we talked about, the chat was talking about the Lux series.
The Obsidian. Yeah.
Obsidian by Jennifer Armentrout.
So, the reason I didn't put these down either is because, like, I didn't forget about these. Jennifer L. Armentrout is present and very relevant.
Exactly.
In the scene today.
Yeah. I just read from Blood and Ash, like, the new book of the series. No, I didn't forget about this. This was, like, a gateway. Jennifer L. Armentrout, she rewrites a series that's already popular and then makes it more like crack-like. So Obsidian was a rewrite of Twilight, but it was with aliens. Damon, is that his name?
It was very Twilight. There was like a Rosalie, there was like every character.
And she's like a book blogger and like they move in next door and it's just...
Damon Black.
I think that's it. And yeah, no, I loved it. I loved the whole concept of it. It was crack to me.
I enjoyed it. I feel like the first two books, and then I was like, eh. I was like mellow on it, but it was fun.
It was fun. She made like an adult series, I think, in the same world, or like short stories. And
she made so many books, like so many. Stone Cold Todd. She did write a Gargoyle trilogy. She did. That was her Sam.
Okay, let's just move on. I think we were done with that.
Okay. Does anyone remember Reboot by Amy Tintero from like 2014?
Yes.
So like this is one of those ones where I was like, I need a new book to talk about that people aren't talking about. And it just didn't knock it out of the park. I just loved the way it looked on the outside. Like it had a great cover. And had a really fascinating concept. Like on the front, the sentence says, 5 years ago, I died. And 178 minutes later, I woke up. Like that is interesting. And it's about like this plague where like when these people die from the plague, they wake up again and they reboot and they're just like more indestructible and you can't kill them unless you put a bullet in their head and they're just less emotional and like regular humans and they're banished from society and like trained to be like slave soldiers for humanity. And I remember, so I rewatched my book check and I was like, it's a super light read. It's a cute romance, but I never finished the series. So it wasn't endearing enough to keep going, but it was interesting and fun. What's next on your list, Natasha?
Daughter of Smoke and Bone by Lainey Taylor.
Okay, this was fantastic. And
I know.
I have never forgotten about Daughter of Smoke and Bone by Lainey Taylor.
I know. I forgot the synopsis and how everything went down, but I read the first one and the second one. I don't think I finished
this. The problem with the third one. It was like Gods and Monsters, the last one. And yeah, it had been too long since I read the second one. So I felt like I needed to reread it because it is a very intricate fantastical world where like they can use teeth to like create people, like create born people. It's really interesting and very well written. There's these two different species that were kind of at war, and the person she's in love with is an angel and she's the other species. And it starts out like you think everyone's just human and it's like nobody is. She just thinks she's like living in Prague and she's like a chill human girl and she's just not at all. She's been like reincarnated with her teeth or whatever in a different body. That's what it is. Like it puts them in like body. It's really interesting and really good, really fantastic writing, but I never finished it, which is really sad. I know Kat said it was really, really good. And her other series, people love it and I just never read it. What is it called?
I never read it either.
It's on my shelf. Strange the Dreamer. Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Strange the Dreamer. And I know that I would probably love it too. It's just I have to devote my brain space to being there for the fantasy world building. And this is why I don't read much like fantasy, because I want to be like in it. And life just gets so chaotic as an adult that to be in it, you really have to
have space and time.
Mental space. And you have to carve out the time. And like to carve out the time is like carving out away the time from like sleeping and other things.
And it's hard when, you know, half the time we're reading, we're also reading audiobooks. And when you're listening to a world building audiobook, it's tough.
Honestly
impossible. You really have to choose which book you want to read in that
style. It's not impossible, but you have to really concentrate. Like there's so many new words being thrown at you. Like it's much easier for my brain if I'm reading it and being able to see the words and catalog them.
There's like this new romantasy book that everyone was talking about. It has like rave reviews. I got the ebook and it starts off with a huge glossary of words that I'm like, oh Lord, I can't do this right now.
Well, that's a rookie mistake. Don't put the glossary at the front of the book.
Yeah.
That's not the right way.
I'm like, I don't want to look at all of these.
Before you know anything, you don't want to look at a glossary.
It's When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker. Like everyone is raving about it on TikTok. Or not everyone. I've seen a few girls who are like reputable. That's, I feel like, Daughter of Smoke or like Lainey Taylor stuff is. I know Tiffany said her writing style is a little too lyrical for her to understand what's actually happening. And I can agree here and there with that.
I can see that. I feel like you get into it. Like it's one of those things where like at first it kind of feels like that for me, but then you fall into it. It's like an accent almost, you know, when like at first you're like, what am I hearing? And then like an Irish accent when they're like talking at first, it's like a lilt to it.
Yeah.
You have to get used to it. And then you're like, fine. That's what I feel like with that style. And
same with they're married, they're an author duo, Miss Peculiar children.
Oh, I mean, it's not an author duo.
I know, but they're married. Why can't I think of her name?
Tahara Mafi.
Tahara Mafi. Yeah, her writing style is very lyrical too. Very poetic.
Her writing style is like very raw. I feel like it's different from Lainey's, which can feel more verbose. Mm. You know, like, because Tahara's is very straightforward in the poetry way. It's like very raw feelings. And Lainey's is like flowery, I would describe it more.
Well, speaking of Tahara Mafi, I didn't put her books down, but that series, I never read it either, the first one. I think
you didn't read Shatter Me.
I read Shatter Me, but I wasn't obsessed, so I didn't.
I mean,
continue.
I wasn't obsessed either. It was one of those series that if you had read it, maybe when you were at the right age, like if it was your first series, you would be obsessed with it. But like, since I had read like 50 million paranormal series by that time, I was like, this is fun. And Ignite Me, like, I really enjoyed it, but I didn't love it.
I think I need to defend myself here because Christine, you were reading all the books because you had to. I was just over here like, la-da-da, I'm going to have fun and maybe talk about some. What I was doing is I was reading voraciously, but I was reading fan fiction. And that's what took up most of my time.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I was on BookTube, so of course I was reading.
We were both on BookTube, but you were the queen. I was just court jester.
Chester. I was very on top of anything people were like, read. I was like, okay, here I go. But yeah, I didn't put her on this list because, again, Tahara Mafi is still like, these books were never forgotten. They're like very much still in the zeitgeist, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
Okay. So people are talking about Maggie Stiefvater. I never say her name right, and I'm sorry. She is still writing books and still very much, I feel like, in the zeitgeist. People love her books. The Raven Boys is one that, like, I feel like it's like a cult classic. Like, I could never get as into it. I think Katie was saying that was her struggle with Maggie. And that's my struggle with Maggie too. Like, it's harder for me to get into those books and like know what's going on all the time. And once I got in, like, they're good, but every time I come out, I have trouble going back in. And the Raven Boys is a really like interesting kind of out there concept with like ley lines and magic, and it's one of those things where you can get lost in trying to figure out what's going on as well, because you're like, is it a not reliable narrator? Like, Cave's Water is very like dreamlike. There is a character that can like pull real things out of dreams. I read the first three books, I think, and didn't get to the end because by the time the last one came out, I had lost my thread in there. Yeah. Sophie says, exactly. Too many boys and love interests, and I got confused. There were a lot of characters to keep track of. You really had to kind of like focus in to discern exactly what was going on and what the lore was.
I remember I was hired for the last one to
do an Instagram
post, because I still remember that picture.
We all did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were good pictures. Yeah. We took with those. I know. I remember them too. You guys were over and I was like laying on the couch with a crown.
Yes. Yeah. Never read them.
You never read any of them.
Not one. I still have them.
They were well written. Again, it's like one of those things. It's like stylistically you have to be in tune and want to like dive in. So some people like love Maggie's books and are like, again, obsessed. So it depends on what your jam is. All right. Can we talk about Graceling? Did you read Graceling?
Yes.
Okay. We all read Graceling, right? That was one of those that was like pre-BookTube, but I did make a book talk about it.
Yeah, I remember it. That was one of the first books like you had told me to read, like personally.
Oh, okay.
When we were like first.
It was really good.
Chatting like in 2012.
So Graceling had like one eye of one color and one eye of another color that marked them as like they had some ability. I don't remember. I remember the lead character's name was Katsa.
Yeah.
I don't remember what her power was, but
me either.
It was very like, it had a vibe like Selena Sardathian, like. And her love interest was cool. I remember the villain scared the shit out of me. I still have nightmares. So this is like why I'm so scared of Jessica Jones's villain by, what is his name? David Tennant plays. Like, he can say something and it trickles down. Like, the power to control people trickles through. So he can tell somebody to do this and that person can tell someone else to do it. And the power keeps flowing. So it's not like only he can tell brainwash somebody. The brainwashing can flow through anyone he tells. And it was very scary reading. I don't know if it's that book or the second book. Like, there's two books, but I feel like one's a prequel or something. I can't remember. She's an assassin with a special talent for killing, Nicole says. Okay. Yeah.
I haven't down. There's four books.
Wow.
There's Graceling, Fire.
Oh, Fire. Yes.
Bitter Blue.
Yes. Wait.
And Winter Keep.
I never got to that one.
It came out in 2021.
Oh, that's why. See, that's way too far off for me to remember anything from the series. Wait, but I feel like each one is told from the point of view of maybe a different character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I finished Bitter Blue, but I had it.
What did I say? Not what I was expecting, but thoroughly surprised by how much I liked it. Definitely an action book with a strong, masculine leading heroine. What? It's a book you would pick up if you want adventure. I think, isn't she plus size?
I just remember being like an assassin. I don't remember anything about her.
Yeah. So Katza has been able to kill a man with her bare hands since she was 8. She's a Graceling, one of the rare people in her land, born with an extreme skill. As niece of the king, she should be able to live a life of privilege. But Graced,
Katza. She's graced with some power.
But graced as she is with killing, she is forced to work as the king's thug. She never expects to fall in love with beautiful Prince Poe. She never expects to learn the truth behind her grace or the terrible secret that lies hidden away. A secret that could destroy all seven kingdoms with words alone.
Yes,
with
that's the villain.
Elegant, evocative prose and a cast of unforgettable characters. Debut author Kristen Cashore creates a mesmerizing world, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Yeah, it was really good. I don't know where Graceling went, but I feel like it was very successful and very well written. Okay, real quick. Does anyone remember Wings by April Lynn Pike? It was like this story about a girl who was a fairy, and it was really interesting because fairies were like human plants. Like they needed like photosynthesis to live. The veins were like photosynthesizing. And I remember Miley Cyrus was signed on to an adaptation. And I went and watched my little review of this in my first ever book talk. And I was like, it's really good. And I can't wait to read the next one. And I was like, you never read the next one. But like, I don't know if I just didn't know when the next one came out or what. I remember like not being super into it in that like I didn't remember everything that happened even after I had finished. Natasha?
Yeah. Okay, let's just wrap up. Do you have any more?
Yes. You haven't done a lot of yours.
I have all of Holly Black's books.
Oh, wait, the fairy books.
Yeah, there was like the fairy books. Never read those. Tithe? It's Tithe. Never read those. I did read her book Black Cat because her and Cassie were on tour together and I bought it.
That one was good.
It was good. I think I read the second one too. The one that stuck was The Coldest Girl in Cold Town. I loved that book.
I never read that one, but I loved Black Cat. I remember it was really interesting and was like about people, con artists.
Mm-hmm.
I did not love Teeth and it took place in New Jersey. I really wanted to like it, but I never finished The Cursebreaker series. I remember it took a while for the second one to come out and I was already distracted.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, it was a very interesting concept. It was like modern day vampires. I remember like her going into this house with all these vampires because everyone was like very intrigued. Oh, and they were like filming them. So they're like live streaming vampires. And I thought it was just so cool. And there was like a very like sexual tension in between the main character and this other vampire dude in the book. And I really liked it a lot.
Nice. A lot of people liked it. A lot of people loved Coldest Girl in Cold Town. Okay, one that I was like super into, it seems like watching my old book talk, but like I barely remembered, was Nightshade by Andrea Kramer. It had a really beautiful purple cover.
I don't remember this cover.
Okay, and it was one of the first books I ever got with deckled edges. And the other books are called Wolfsbane and Blood Rose, but I never got to them. So it was like a werewolf girl named Kala, and she's a guardian, and she guards like these sacred areas for these wizards, and Nightshade is the name of her pack, and her younger brother's name is Ansel, which I did remember a lot, and they have arranged marriages, and she's arranged marriage to another pack alpha guy named Ren. And he's like an alpha E player guy. He's like a playa. And she's like, I don't want to be arranged with this guy.
Ooh.
But I never continued going. But it was really interesting because, like, you can turn people into werewolves by, like, letting them drink your blood. Kind of like a vampire sort of situation. But, yeah, I never continued with the series. Like, that is the through line with a lot of these. It was just so many series. And series are so hard when there's gaps between the books.
Yeah. I think that's why, like, we loved, like, Colleen Hoover and
Standalones.
Because it was just so easy just to read, like, be able to pick it up and read it and not have to be like, okay, what happened in the last one? I can't remember.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. As you get older, it's easier to do standalones because you just have so much other stuff pulling your attention.
Yeah. I don't know if people remember this book, but this is The Lonely Heart Club by Elizabeth Uhlberg.
Everyone talked about this book. It's one that I didn't get to, but like everyone was obsessed with talking about
it. Yeah, it came out, I think, in 2011. Stephanie Meyer blurbed it. And I think it was like a...
Maybe that's why I wanted to read it too.
It was like the only... I think it was like one of the last books she blurbed besides, I think, Austinland. It was like a cute little like rom-com contemporary. I think it had Beatles vibes in it. Right? I feel like that's how it went.
I never read it.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty big, I think, because Stephanie blurbed it.
It was pretty big.
Yeah, the main character loved the Beatles. That's what Nicole said.
I feel like I read another book by Elizabeth Uhlberg. Maybe her next book or something. They're like friends to lovers or something. But yeah. And you've done like Uglies. That was huge.
Yeah, these are never read, but they were pushed on. I remember Uglies, by Scott Westerfeld.
You didn't read Uglies?
No.
Wow.
I didn't like the concept. I was like, no. And then like all these Crank by L. Hopkins.
Okay, Ellen Hopkins.
Ellen Hopkins.
Yeah. I didn't read Crank, but everyone was obsessed with the Ellen Hopkins book. She literally wrote in like poetry. Mm-hmm. And I was hired for a couple of her books. Rumble, I read. And
I remember.
Yeah, and a few other ones. Yeah, she was huge. And of course, you have down like Blue Bloods and the Marked series. I never read those.
I know. They're like vampire books. I was like, I'm not reading them.
I know. I was too into like Twilight to like really get into another vampire book series. And I had the Vampire Diaries and True Blood on air.
Yeah. Well, and we had Vampire Academy. I think I would have never read Vampire Academy if you didn't like love it so much.
Oh, yeah. Vampire Academy was so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone and their mom was telling me to read that one. So I was like, okay, I'm going to read it. And then I was like, wait, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so sad that Rachel Mead isn't really writing now, is she?
I know. No.
I don't. She did a few like non-Vampire Academy books that didn't really explode. And then, I never read them, so I don't know how I felt about them, but times. And it's so sad that none of the shows have worked out.
The last one was really good. It went a little cray-cray. I think it would have been really good.
Yeah, I think given some more time, it would have really found itself.
Did you go through all your list?
I did. I think I went through everything.
Yeah. I have like...
My Life Next Door by Huntley Fitzpatrick I have on the list that I didn't talk about. But like that was a contemporary that I really enjoyed. Mm. Huntley Fitzpatrick's books.
I had a lot of contemporaries. Like I read a lot of contemporaries like before BookTube. Like I read like Suzanne Colasanti. I don't know if anyone read her books, but I read all of her books very early on. I have like Rebel Bell, which was like a booksplosion
book.
That
was our first... sponsored Booksplosion book. I'll never fucking forget it. And I love Rebel Bell. I was so excited.
I really liked it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
really liked the concept.
I loved it. It was like Girl Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. And then We Were Liars.
We Were Liars was our like second or third Booksplosion book. Yeah, everyone liked it. I wish I wasn't spoiled for that fact that there was a plot twist. Literally, Ariel read it first. She was like, you guys are not going to believe what happens. And I was like, Ariel! The whole time I was like, maybe it's this.
Oh, Tiffany says, isn't a movie or TV show coming soon for that?
Something's coming because it exploded again on Book Talk.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And they made a sequel. Yeah.
They did?
There's a second book I got in the mail. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know what it's called. All right. Well,
I don't know if it was a sequel, but it was definitely like a continuation of We Were Liars.
How?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Oh, Tiffany says she thinks it's a prequel.
Oh, maybe it was a prequel. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our looking back discussion here today. Love to hear if you had any books that we didn't mention. I know I saw someone saying the Lunar Chronicles, but like Marissa Meyer is still like in the zeitgeist again. So I
want to reread those books. Those are some of the most fun books.
They were
books.
So fun. Oh, I loved those. Gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely a trip down memory lane. Like, honestly,
for sure.
It really brought me back to like this feeling of when I was going through my Goodreads of like, oh my gosh, I've like remembered this mindset and frame of wanting to read all these books and like kind of like where I was when I read them and who I was talking to. Maybe even some of the conversations like we had and like watching your videos too. Like those memories.
Yeah. I mean, it was at this time in my life where like I could devour books so quickly and I would turn on the camera immediately. Didn't have to worry about my voice. Just like ramble on, edit it immediately, get it up at like 4 a.m. This is a crazy time for YouTube because I would literally post at any time of day. I would post a video at 3 a.m. when I finished editing it. Like, and it would do great. Like,
yeah. I remember talking to you and being like, I love posting at midnight because then I go to bed and I wake up to all the comments.
I know. Like, I loved that. And it was so sad when, like, you start after, like, following a schedule to, like, post at noon. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so wild how much we were reading and how quickly we were reading it. And the community and how fast it was growing and how many people were reading with us. It was such a beautiful time for, like, the reader community. I feel like in general, that community aspect is kind of lost in YouTube. It's so big and it's hard. And I know on BookTok, it's just like, there's so many people. So it's harder to like make those connections, I feel like, than it was in the BookTube days.
Yeah. Like every creator has their own little community. Like there is no like hierarchy of...
There's no like group of creators that like you see at every like con. Because there isn't like cons that people are going to as much. Yeah, it's just not the same. It was a golden era for community in YouTube, I feel like, when it came to books. All right, we're going to wrap up with a Mary Kiss Cliff. Yeah. Here we go. All right. So today I'm going to put together a Mary Kiss Cliff with some of our YA classics. We're going to do Gracelink. We're going to do the Lunar Chronicles. And we're going to do Twilight.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to kiss the Lunar Chronicles. I'm going to marry Twilight, and I'm going to cliff Graceling.
Yeah, like there's really no other option. That's very fair, yes. I think I'm going to do the same because, like, you have to marry Twilight. Like, I have to.
Yeah. It's a part of our being.
As much as I love the Lunar Chronicles, I can't marry that one over Twilight. Mm-hmm. And I love the Lunar Chronicles. I love that guy. Captain Thorne. Oh, and Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a time. What a time they were. What an adventure. Yeah. All right. Well, that is our show today, y'all. Before we go today, I want to take a second to thank the listeners. We love y'all. And if you're not already, we'd love it if you followed us for free in your favorite podcast listening app, whether that be Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever you prefer. And if you don't know, we have a visual version of the show on YouTube. Every episode is there, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. You could subscribe for free so you never miss an episode there. If you don't know, we're a viewer-supported podcast. So we have a Patreon with lots of fun perks. You can subscribe at the Team Jacob $5 level and you get the show ad-free and you get the extra show we do at the end of every episode called Fangirl Tea Time, which is we share more personal stories about things going on in our lives. It's a really fun community over there. That's all at the $5 level. There's a free trial that you can try it out on for free for 7 days. See if you like it before you commit. Then we got lots of other fun perks on our other tiers, Team Edward tier and Team Paul's Bananas. Check it out. The link is in the show notes. We post episodes every Friday and we have chapter chat episodes that come out every single Thursday. Our podcast is edited by Jake Needham and Alex Polis.
and Ricky?
Ricky McBrayer.
And Ricky McBrayer. The music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. We are about to go record Fangirl Tea Time. So if you want to join us, that's available. The link in the show notes for the Patreon. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.